Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. We had a brief hiatus for the past few weeks for our Torah to Go Parsha class on Thursday mornings. Great to see everyone this morning, especially those that are brave enough to show your video. And we are privileged to be reading this week Parshas Ki Teitzeh. We're well into the month of Elul. We still have some time, but we're getting there. We're getting there to Rosh Hashanah. Join us on Mondays as we're analyzing the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But today we are looking at Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Ki Teitzeh is a parsha that is near and dear to me as I learned it for my bar mitzvah. It's not my official bar mitzvah parsha, as that is chukas, but chukas in the middle of the summer. I was in camp, my friends were in camp. So Ki Teitzeh was the parsha that I learned for my bar mitzvah. So it's very close to me. And it's a very special parsha in general because Ki Teitzeh has the most mitzvos out of any parsha in the Torah. There are 74 total mitzvos in the parsha, more than any of the parsha. More than 10% of all mitzvos can be found in our Torah portion. So let's begin with the Ben Sora Umora. The Ben Sora Umora is a fascinating discussion in general, in terms of education, in terms of parenting, a child that is of a certain age, close to 13, not 13 years old yet, and is not listening to his parents, is stealing meat and wine. And the Torah says that this child, we judge him not on based on where he is right now, but we judge him nidon al shem sofa, where he's going to be in the future, and we give this young boy skila. Very serious and severe parsha. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that this lo haya v'lo yiyah, this never happened, never will happen. There are a lot of technicalities as to why this can't happen. And the Torah says the reason why we have this here is drush v'kabel schar. Literally means we have it here to learn to get more schar for Talmud Torah. But there also are very important key messages in the parsha. One of my favorite thoughts here from Rav Hirsch, this is a number one, this is pre-number one officially. Rav Hirsch writes, the Gemara tells us that the parents, mom and dad, need to be equal, bekol, mara, vekoma. They need to have the same voice. They need to look the same and need to be the same height. So I am not going to go around the room and say, okay, can any of you at least have one of those, right? Are any of you the same height as your spouse? Let alone look the same and have the same exact voice. And this is one of the proofs that Gemara gives as to like, this can never happen, because how can a husband and wife have all of these same things? So the Maharsha and Maharsha and the Gemara, actually we quoted him a few weeks ago, and also Rav Hirsch, both say the same message here. What's the message? Is that a Ben Sora Mora is not going to be created when the parents are on the same page. Sometimes parents come to me, I'm not a parenting expert. Parents come to me and say, is this okay? Like, if we say this to our child, is that okay? Generally, there is multiple options of ways to parent children and decisions to make on a daily basis. And they're all good most of the time, right? They're all pretty good. But what's more important than that? Is that mom and dad are on the same page. The mom and dad are speaking from the same voice, that they're on the same page. Not that you go to mom and she says one thing and then dad says something completely different, right? That is okay when you're asking for money. Okay, you have to know who to go to and who to shmir for. But when it comes to real parenting decisions, parents need to be on the same page. And if they do, then there won't be Ben Sora Mora situations. And that's very important in general when it comes to parenting. Parenting doesn't stop. When your children then have children, they come to you. It's also important to be in the same voice. And I want to focus on a thought from Chaim Kanievsky in this parsha, in this episode, which is a classic Rav Chaim Kanievsky drasha. What do I mean by that? Is that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was able to analyze from the slightest nuance in a word in the Torah, and Darshan has something very, very significant. So he says here that in this story of Ben Stiller and Moreh, the parsha begins. It's Ki Teitzei Kaf Aleph Yudchas. Ki Yel Ish Bein Soreh or Moreh Einenu Shomea B'Kol Aviv B'Kol Imo. If you have a child that is a ben sorer u moreh. The word moreh here, right? Moreh comes from the word sar, sorer, means wayward, right? Sar mean haderech, off the path. Maybe that's where we got the idea of off the derech. Don't love that term, but that's where maybe we get it from. U moreh comes from rebellious. Moreh is spelled shalim, mem vav resh hey, ben sorer moreh. Who's not listening to his parents' voice. He's not listening to them, and he's doing things that are inappropriate and wrong. Then the Torah continues and tells us that what's going to happen, mom and dad need to bring this child to Beis Din and testify about this child and what the child is doing wrong. And they go to Beis Din in their city. So rare umore. This child is wayward and rebellious. Rav Chaim writes, if you look at the word in this pasuk, more, it's not, doesn't have a vav. It's chaser vav. Right? First time with a vav, second time without a vav. Now, what is the Torah telling us, right, by this word, more, being chaser? Missing this letter here. So he says something very beautiful. You could take it in a negative way. I'm going to focus on the positive. He says, when the Torah begins here, the Torah is saying that this child is objectively doing things that are very, very wrong. He's a ben sorer amora. But mom and dad, when they go to Beis Din, parents always see the good in their children. They always see the positive in their kids. Even when their kids are doing something so egregious and so wrong, like a ben sorer umoreh, they're not going to relay the information the same way that other people see it. Ben sorer umoreh. Moreh is chaser. When the parents are introducing this child to the Beis Din. Because for them, they always see, if they would have made that decision, or remember them when they were young and they were so pure and innocent and they loved Torah and they had such good friends, but now look where they are. They could be back, right? When parents fantasize and dream about those moments when things were really, really great and really, really special. And that's what makes them special parents. When they're able to see the goodness in their kids. Obviously, parents can't be blind to if children are becoming better. Right? But here, the Torah is telling us, even in this case, where the parents are getting so much agmas nefesh, they still see a positive spin. They still see something that can recapture the essence of who their child is. And the child can hopefully come back and change as a result because they don't see things like everybody else does. And that's the role of parents, is to see things in a rose-colored lens and always give chizuk and strength to children all the time. That is thought number one. It's a beautiful thought from Chaim Kanievsky on our parsha. We continue on. The very next halacha in the parsha is the halacha of Shabbos Aveda. The whole second parak of Maseches Bava Metzia deals with this issue of a Shabbos Aveda. And the Torah here is very, very wordy. And we're going to have two different thoughts on the wordiness of the Torah here. Lo tira eshur achicha, o et seyoni dachim. You shall not see the ox or the sheep of your brother cast off. V'hisalantameh. Meaning you see the sheep run away, and you should not hide yourself from it. Hashev tishivem la'achicha. You shall surely return it to your brother. It's a great question, the halacha. Let's say, who pays for the FedEx shipping? If you need to FedEx this object back to your the keys, the car, the whatever, what do? I remember I left a wallet in a, I was in Syracuse at a wedding in, I think, Westbury. Westbury or Woodbury, Long Island. Very far out. And I somehow, I guess I took my wallet in my pocket at some point. I left it somewhere and I couldn't find it. I had a hard time retracing my steps. And 2 days later, a package came in the mail from the rabbi of the synagogue. And he said to me, you know, he wrote me a nice letter. He had my address because of my driver's license. And it was so nice. And it's a good, who's the responsibility to do a Shabbos Avedos on them? They found it. Good. Who pays for the FedEx? It could be that I have to pay them back. I called him up and thanked him profusely because it's a big tircha, we know, to lose your wallet and lose all those things. And he didn't want to accept payment. But that's, I think, the halachically, that's my responsibility. Good. Yimlo karov achicha eilecha. Right, now listen to the pasuk. Imlo karov achicha eilecha. If your brother is not near you, velo yedato, and you don't know him, right? You find something and you don't know who they are. Vasavto atoch beitecha. Keep it in your house. Ad derosh achicha oso. V'hashev osolo. You have to keep it in your house for X amount of days. The Gemara goes into detail how you make announcements. Today, using Facebook and social media and forums, this is a great way to use social media to help people find things. I think a few years ago, or it comes up every few months, someone left their tefillin on a train or on an airplane, and they don't have anything in it. And you just put a picture on, and everyone shares it. And within within a day, that tefillin is found. It's innate. It's the power. That's the power of the world that we're living in today, and the interconnectedness is something very, very positive in that. But the pasuk itself is very wordy. Lo karov achicha ilacha. If your friend is not near you, and you don't know them, one of those in itself would be fine. V'im lo yada achicha. You don't know your friend. Make an announcement because you don't recognize the item. Or if they don't live near you, you're traveling through, and then you see it. What's this double language? Lo karov achicha v'lo yedato. So says Rav Zalman Sarutzkin, something so, so beautiful. He writes, Lamda Torah osanu mida tova. We learn from here the tremendous mida of Ahavas Yisrael. Why? He writes, the only reason why you don't know this person is because they live very far away from you. Sharaka achim harechokim imcha, rashayata shalodata. They live far away from you. Then you have an excuse, a reason why you don't know them, because they don't live near you. But if they live near you, es hakaro v'samach eilacha, tzarech ata ladas. You need to know who they are. You need to know something about them. Says Rav Sarutzkin, tucked into the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda is the mitzvah of getting to know your neighbors and getting to know the people that live in your community and who you daven next to in shul. And not advocating that you should get to know them well while we're davening in shul. Yet, the Torah is telling us, if they live near us, we should know more about them than just, how do we know their names? We should know more about them. We should know their story. We should know their kids. In lo karov achicha, elacha, velo yidato. The only way you don't know the Jew is because they live very far away from you. But if they live near you, you should know them. And this is so important as we get into deeper into the month of Elul and into Rosh Hashanah, we know that the more that we are connected with other people, the more effective our din is going to be on Rosh Hashanah. The more we're involved in people's lives, the more we take time out of our day and stop running, take time to know people better, the greater we will be when we face our shofet on Rosh Hashanah. It continues the psukim. V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro. V'chein ta'aseh l'simlaso. V'chein ta'asa l'chol avas avedas achicha asher tavad mimena u'mitzasa. Right? You should also do this for his donkey, and do this for his shirt, and do this for anything. Right? So now, the Shloha Kadosh writes, what's going on here? In the beginning of the parsha, in the beginning of the story, we mentioned if you find the guy's sheep, his shore, or his ox. And now we're saying, oh, by the way, also a donkey and a shirt and anything else. Just tell me, if the guy lost an item, I'll figure it out what that means. An item means any item. So the Gemara has a lot of drushos over here. But says the Shloha Kadosh, there's something very, very beautiful. The Shloha writes the following. I'm going to read it inside. The Shloha writes that the Torah is telling us the following. What does the Torah begin with? The Torah begins with two kosher animals, a shor and a seyo. And he says, you would think that you're going to start doing this mitzvah with just these two things. They're expensive, they're kosher, maybe they need this to eat, they're saving this animal for a korban, or they're saving this animal for their family, for yontif, and that's what I'm going to say. But you know what's going to happen? The mitzvah you're going to do is going to be infectious. It's going to, can we use that word anymore post-COVID? The word infectious, is that appropriate? I don't know. But you're going to say that you're going to do that mitzvah, and then that's going to get you excited. Zoom, I don't know if people laugh or not. And it's going to get you excited to do more mitzvos, right? Not only are you going to get involved in the bigger avedas, in the bigger deal avedos, but also in the smaller things, also in the chamorot, also in the simla. You can walk by, okay, guy has a few shirts. I need to pick up this person's shirt. I need to pick up, this toy from the floor and try to, yeah, but once you start, you get started on a mitzvah, you see how impactful it is and how it changes somebody. And you're like, I'm hooked. I want to do more and more and more. So that tucked into the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda are two additional beautiful, beautiful thoughts. One is the mitzvah of getting to know our fellow Jews, our brothers and sisters, and knowing them at a deeper level. And that's our responsibility too. And secondly, that the more we involve ourselves in mitzvos, the more we want to do more. This is true when it comes to Talmud Torah. It's true when it comes to chesed. The more we get off of the couch and do chesed, the more exciting it is to do more. Okay, let's continue now with the thought from, this has always bothered me. Actually, before we get there, we'll get there in a second. Continues on. We'll go in order. I was going to go out of order, but we'll go in order. Lo tirah. So it says the following, Lo tirah es chamor achicha, o shoro no filim baderach. So now, once we're on Hashavas Aveda, now the Torah says that if you see, Lo tirah es chamor achicha, o shoro no filim baderach, nisalamta mehem akem takim imo. If you see somebody's donkey falling off, on the ground, then you should not hide yourself from them. Hakim takim imo. You shall help them, right? I think Rabbi Fran tells this story, but I'm sure we can all relate to this. Is that somebody once was driving up, in the Catskills, and they see somebody, with their car, with the hood up on the side of the road, and the guy's wearing a yarmulke, so he pulled off to the side, and he said, "How can I help you? What's going on? I'm always here to help another brother," and they're talking, they're schmoozing, and the guy is saying very funny things, and he's questioning like his Judaism. And a few moments in, the guy said, you Jews, you're funny people, you Jews. Like, this guy's wearing a yarmulke. That's why I stopped, because I saw you wearing a yarmulke on the side of the road. He said, my family member, my father, my brother, works with Jews. And he said, whenever I get stuck into car trouble, what I should do is leave one of these guys, a yarmulke, in the car. and in my glove compartment. And whenever I get stuck, go out, try to do whatever I do, you know, call AAA, but put one of these on my head. And if you put one of these on your head, guaranteed that people are going to come out and help you, right? Guaranteed. Amazing. Lo tires chamor achicha o sharo naflim baderach. So this is the pasuk here.
Rabbi, you could also get attacked by being a Jew.
Okay, thank you, Jules. We're going to focus on the positive here, friend, okay? So thank you. So lo tires chamor achicha, if you see your friend on the side of the road and their car is broken, hakim takim, imo. Help them out. Help them out. That's pasuk in the Torah. Hakim takim imo. Says Rav Druk, yes, Rav Druk, hakim takim. Lift up the animal. What is imo? Hakim takim imo. With him. With her. Why is that necessary? So he says, he quotes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I think this is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, two great Rav Moshe Soloveitchiks. The Rav's father is Rav Moshe. And there was a Rav from Switzerland also that was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I assume it's this one that he's referring to. And he says the following very beautiful idea. And it's based on a pasuk that we started saying already last week. Achat sha'alti neis Hashem usa avakesh. Says David HaMelech, Achat sha'alti, I ask God for one thing that I ask of him. She'ela and bakasha, right? It's repetitive. The pasuk itself is repetitive. So he says the following. When we need help, the first person that needs to help us is ourselves. If we need to grow, we need to change. We need to first recognize that we need that help. If somebody is going through a very challenging part in their life and they are literally breaking down and it's very hard for them, but they're not ready to change, no matter how much intervention and support they have, it's not going to work if they themselves don't want to change. And I'm sure we've seen this all in our lives. And it's, you know, in very sad, difficult situations where it's so obvious to us that things need to be different for this individual, but they don't want to change. And if they don't want to change, there's nothing that we could do to help them. We can love them, we can daven for them, we can care for them, but if they don't want to change, very little we can do. And he says, that's what the pasuk means. Achat sha'alti me'is Hashem, osa v'kish. What am I asking from Hashem? Hashem, I'm asking from you that I need your help, that I am v'kish. I am taking the one step forward. I can't do this on my own. I can't change on my own. What's the one thing I'm asking for you? That I'm a mavakish, that I want to change. I want to get closer to you. And now I need your help in doing it. I need your help to come closer. And he says, that's really what the pasuk means. Hakim takim imo. If the person doesn't want to help themselves, then there's very little that we can do. Hakim takim, imo. You need to lift him up, but he needs to be part of that solution. With him. I remember when Sarah was in graduate school for psychology. She's a psychologist, for those that don't know. And one of the first weeks, she came home and she's like, you know, they told us today in school. They said, no matter how accomplished you're going to be as a psychologist, you're not going to change anybody. And they're like, okay, then why are we here? Let's like go, we'll become a lawyer. Because the goal of a psychologist is to help the other person want to change themselves, right? If you think you can change that person, right? It's not really to change that perspective. When that person wants to change on their own, we show them the door, they need to go to the door themselves. Our job is to open the door for them or give them more pathways and ability. But the bakasha needs to come from them. And that's what he writes. Hakim takim imo. It needs to be with them together. And if they have that will, then we, as the friend, as the relative, as a spouse, we can go ahead and help them change. Okay, so we began with Ben Sor Mora, Mora Chaser, and Mora Shalem. We had two ideas about a Shavas Aveda, Avas Yisrael, knowing, getting to know your friends and neighbors and shulmates, and doing mitzvos as they're infectious. And we just discussed Hakim Takimimo. And now we go to Amon and Moav. Amon and Moav, there's a section in our parsha that tells us who can and who can't be a Jew, right? We meet four different nations here. We meet the Mitzri, the Ammoni, the Moavi, and the Edomi. Who we don't meet here, and it's a fascinating discussion, Amalek comes up at the end of our parsha, and it's a fascinating, can an Amaleki convert to Judaism? Not so simple. It is not clear anywhere in the text of the Torah. There might be a pasuk that alludes to it in Tanakh, but it's not clear in the Torah itself. Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lehem b'kal Hashem arulam. An amoni u'moavi cannot convert to Judaism. We don't know who an amoni u'moavi today are, and we are lenient in that area, meaning we don't check out their lineage and go back, you know, tens of generations to figure out where they come from. This was at the behind the scenes major discussion in the story of Rus. She came from Moab, and we learn from here that it's only the males who can convert, but the females can convert. This is a source of a lot of Agmas Nefesh in David Melech's life. And now, why is it that he can convert? So I would tell you, right, we are believing Jews. The Torah said, that's it, period. But here, the Torah gives us not one, but two reasons as to why an Amaleki, Amoni Amovi can't convert. Davar she lo kidmu eschem, balechem uvamayim, baderech betzeisechem mimitzrayim. Number one reason, when we left Egypt, our cousins, the Amon and Moav, did not come out to help us and give us bread and water. Secondly, Vasher Sachar Alacha is Bilam ben Beor mipitur, Aram Naharayim lekalaka. Secondly, they hired Bilam to curse us, right? And we know that story, and the story continues and says, Hashem didn't listen to Bilam. He turned all the curses to blessings, etc. Now, why does the Torah here give two reasons, number one? And secondly, if you were writing the order, what would you put first? They didn't give us bread and water, or they hired an assassin, right? They hired a spiritual assassin, a Bilam, to curse us. What is the bigger reason?
Bilam.
Bilam, no? Right. So, two answers to this question. In previous years, I've quoted, we've learned the Maggid, the Maggid here, which is unbelievable. I'm going to share it again because it's really amazing. See, the Duda Maggid says that we need to be authentic in everything that we do as people. Right? Hashem wants to see that we are real, we're genuine, and we're not two-faced. We say one thing and we mean something else. It was very easy to excuse the Amon and Moab for not bringing up bread and water. You know why? You know what they said? We don't have the money. We can't afford it. We can't afford it, right? It's going to be, Milti's not on the call, right? It's Yom Tov season, and all of our shuls, right, are asking for support. It's time of the year where we ask for significant support in our shuls. We need it. We needed it last year. We need it this year. Especially this year with the cost of inflation, right? So they said, we can't help. You know why? We don't have it. We don't have it. We can't afford it. But what happened a little while later? They spent an exorbitant amount of money right, to hire Bilaam to curse the Jews. Echad morel l'sheni, says the Dvar Maakeh. One goes on the other. If you can have it for this and not for the other, then you're not being honest. I get it. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. Not everybody can afford the big, right? So says, if they could afford to hire Bilaam, and by the way, they would have given him even more if he would have said no again, right? Clearly, they knew where to get it from, and they had the ability, the access to all of this. They had misplaced priorities. They decided to use their wealth on cursing the Jewish people, but not on chesed. And that's a question that we need to be honest with ourselves in terms of our priorities financially. And also, where, how do we use our time? I don't have time to help. But you just used an hour or two for a blank or for this. Okay. You know, you need to be, we're all adults here, be honest with ourselves in terms of this. And that's the Maggid, why this one comes first, Lechem u'mayim, and it's Morah, the Bilaam situation shows that what they're saying is completely wrong, and they both go together. And there's a beautiful, beautiful message in general, especially for Elul. I want to add one additional idea over here, and this comes from Rav Druk. Rav Druk writes, is that Ammon and Moav, who is the founding father of Ammon and Moav?
Lot.
Lot. Lot was taken care of. Lot was an orphan. His father was Haran. Haran died. Apnei Terach Aviv, the end of Parshas Noach. And Avraham took in Lot and took care of him. He didn't just send him a check every week, which would be amazing. He brought him with him, and they literally lived together for many, many years until it didn't work out and they needed to part their ways, and he was still taken care of. Ammon and Moav, it should have been part of who they were, a sense of gratitude to the children of Abraham, their children of Lot. Now they're in the position to give, right? They've made it. And the children of Abraham leaving Egypt have nothing. They're slaves on the run from Egypt. Okay, they didn't know about the man, or they didn't know about the man. They should have said, of course we're going to give you. You saved us so many years ago. We're going to do it now for you. And you see, so he says, this reason is first. You can argue hiring Bilaam is very significant and severe, but a baseline of being a person, a human being in this world, is to be makir tov, to give hakaras tov to other people. And he says, if someone does not have this, it could develop and fester. And it could lead somebody to worse lo aleinu things. And one of those things is to hire a Bilaam, right? And to take it out on that very same people whom you owe so much to, and how significant that is.
Rabbi.
Yes.
So why does that exclude women? Why are women excluded? Because for the reasons that you gave, besides hiring Bilaam, but everything you said, the women should be in there too, and they should also not be allowed to marry.
So the Gemara's drasha is that in those days, who were the ones greeting the foreign nations and giving the bread and water? It was the men. So who were the ultimate decision makers here? It was the men, not the women, who would do this. That's the Gemara's drasha. That's the Masorah that they have in understanding the psukim over here. Amoni, velo amonit, moavi, velo moav. And to spin it on the positive is that gratitude is something, there's a lot of research on gratitude, and the more gracious we are in our lives, and the more time that we reflect on being thankful, the greater we will be. There's an amazing study. I was in a training last week for teaching, and says that if one has a gratitude journal and one writes down 5 to 10 things each and every day that they are thankful for, and thankful for living, that's very important. But the more specific we are, right, the more specific we are, the greater life we live, the healthier we are emotionally in our lives. And it's like vitamins. This is amazing. I thought this was unbelievable. That if somebody just does this for a month, then for the next 2 months after that, even if they don't do it once, they still are on a high. They still are living a better life. So it's like exercise. I'm going to go on a crazy diet because I want to fit into that dress and da da da. Okay, is it healthy? Here, it's healthy. It will last a long time, even if you stop. It's a great thing to just try and record on a daily basis. It will definitely change one's life. Speaking about long life, in honor of Elo, I'm going to add, we learned five to go, right? I'm gonna do one more for today. Very powerful. I saw this late last night from the Ksav Sofer. Very powerful idea. The Ksav Sofer wants to know, why is it the two mitzvahs in the Torah that promise us long life? One is honoring your parents, kavedes avicha v'imecha, and the other is shiluach hakan. A few months ago, at the end of June, someone in the shul texted me a picture of a robin. Went through this during Minchamar for the whole discussion about can you do Shluch HaKan and Rabin, etc. Actually brought my students to this person's backyard. We weren't able to do the mitzvah Shluch HaKan because the Rabin ran away before we got there. But the Torah says that if you do the mitzvah Shluch HaKan, the harachta yamin, you get long life. So the Ksav Sofer is curious, why is that? What is unique about Shiluach HaKan that the Torah needs to tell us that we are, right, that we get long life? So he says something very fascinating. He writes that the goal of this mitzvah, according to the Ksav Sofer, it's a big discussion, is that this is supposed to make us more empathic, make us more sensitive to other people, to be rachman. And if we want the eggs, we need to scare away the mother bird. The mother should not be there at the time when we take the egg. And that should engender within us a level of rachman. Then he writes the following. The Gemara tells us that there are three people whose lives aren't really lives. Gimel is the language of the Gemara. Chayehen, Einam Chayim. A Gemara Maseches Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Gimel, right? Chayehen, Einam Chayim. Their lives aren't really lives. And who are they? Who are they? Rachmanim, those that are compassionate. Raschanim, those that get angry very easily. If you get angry and agitated all the time, then it's very hard to live normally. People don't want to be around you, walking in eggshells. It's not healthy. You're always screaming. The anine hadas, those that don't have a lot of intellect. And we can understand also why that is someone that is, it's hard for them. Nebuch. So what's the big deal? Rachmanim is the opposite. We just mentioned, the more chesed you do, right, doesn't that give us more meaning in our lives? So why would the Gemara say, Gimel Dvarim Eim Chayim, Rachmanim? Those that have compassion and mercy and are sensitive and thinking about other people, why does that give them no life? So you write something very, very fascinating, psychologically, mentally. I think it's something that many of us can relate to. He says, very naturally, somebody that has rachmanas, they're always worrying about other people. You know, they're always thinking about how they're doing. Are they healthy? Did I do enough for them? Maybe I could do more. And it's always in their minds. And it can be, in a certain way, very fulfilling, but also very consuming. Not time-wise, but mental health-wise. It could take up a lot of our space in our head. I could be doing more. What about them? What if this happens? And people that are generally, you know, naturally compassionate, it can lead them to be a life that's not life, because you're just always thinking this way. So says the Ksav Sofer, the mitzvah that's supposed to teach us compassion, so it's a model compassion, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen promises us a long life. Not literally, physically, how many days, it's going to add more days, but that it's going to help us live a healthier life. L'man yitav lach, that you're going to have the ability to help. You have the ability to help your friends, but it's not going to take away from your daily life. It's not going to undermine the helping. The more I help, the more bad I feel, the more guilty I feel. I could do more. No. It's going to give you this level of hishtavus, equanimity in your life. It's a very, very powerful and real idea that we can relate to about helping, and the trap that we could fall into, and that we're going to do our best to help, right? We're going to do our best, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to give us a bracha. The bracha is that we're not going to live with guilt. We're not going to live with a tremendous amount of anxiety, and at the same time, Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to give us the ability to continue to give more and more in our lives.
To me, I always had problem with Shiluach HaKohen. The point is, for me, it's still selfish motivation. There's no reason you shouldn't require taking those eggs away. In other words, in order, you're just saying the mitzvah is you're not hurting the mother bird, but why take away her children to begin with? That's Sa'a Bal Chaim, right, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. That, and you're chasing her away so you can do a mitzvah. To me, I don't see why it's a mitzvah. It's Sa'a Bal Chaim.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's a great question.
It's bothered me all these years, every time we learn that plus.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, not for now, but maybe next year we'll discuss it. So just to review, Ben Sower Morev is number one, Moreh with the Vav, and Moreh with Adavav. Parents always see the good in their kids. Secondly, Hashayev Tishivim, Hashav is Abeda, Lo Yidato, you got to know the people around you. Mitzvahs are infectious. Shor, Seyo, Chamor, Simla, it goes in lower order to show that once we do it, we're excited, we're passionate, we want to do more and more. Hakein takimimo, someone can't help themselves. First step is to help. They need to want help, and then we can get involved and help them as well. Number five, we said, lo yavo amoni amovi b'kal Hashem. Gratitude, we need to be more gracious in our own lives, more thankful. And lastly, we discussed the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen. Why is the mitzvah Arichas Yamim? And the very powerful idea, powerful insight from the Ksav Sofer. Wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Amen. Kol Tov.